the vein of my heart.
So first I'll speak about, briefly, about Srimati Thakurani, the wife of Dvaitacharya. So she's considered to be, according to the Gauraganadesh Tipika, the incarnation or the appearance of Yogamaya. She was Yogamaya in Krishna's pastimes. And of course, Yogamaya was present when Krishna appeared. Another name of Yogamaya was Purnamasi. Purnamasi, of course, is the mother of Sundapani Muni. And she's also the grandmother of Madhu Mango, the famous joker. She's also the grandmother of Nandi Mukhi, another gopi who partakes of the Radha Krishna pastimes. And she's a disciple of Narada Muni. This is very, very interesting. So, of course, she was there when Sachi Mata, Lord Chaitanya's mother, gave birth. And she would visit often Sachi Mata to help care for the new baby. That was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And she gave Lord Chaitanya's mother good instructions how to raise children. Of course, she was always accompanying Dvaitacharya. And when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, Sita Thakurani spent 4 days with Sachi Devi. It was described as plunged in the darkness of separation from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I think that's all the information. I got quite a bit, but we don't have time to read it. Of course, her famous son was Achyutananda. And let's see what else. And she also had some other wonderful pure devotee sons, Krishna Mishra and Gopal Mishra. Her father's name was Nrisingha Bhaduri, and her sister's name was Shri. So it's described in the Gauraganadesh Tipika that she was, of course, Yogamaya, and her sister Shri is called the Prakash, or manifestation of Yogamaya. And the Dvaitacharya was married to both, her and her sister. So at that particular time, it was polygamy. So now, we'll talk about Lalita Devi. Of course, you see her picture here. This is Lalita Devi in Sridhar Mayapur. Of course, Sridhar Mayapur, there's the Astasakis, along with Radha and Madhava. So we're going to be reading a little bit from the Radha Krishna Ganadesh Tipika and some other literatures, I think. Oh, yeah, also from the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada's Nectar of Devotion, which is from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So the most intimate of Krishna's, Radha and Krishna's gopi friends are Lalita, Vishaka, Chitra, Champaka, Lata, Tunga, Vidya, Induleka, and Rangadevi and Sudevi. So these are the Astasakis. Of course, the primary gopis are Lalita and Vishaka, and they have different psychologies. Lalita is very hot-tempered, and Vishaka is very cool. And we'll read about that in a second. And of course, Vishaka is always trying to make peace between Radha and Krishna. And Lalita also has that concept, but she's sometimes discouraging Radharani from associating with Krishna because Krishna acts in ways that aggravate Radharani. So she's actually very partial to Radharani. So reading from the Radha Krishna Ganadesh Tipika, that of the eight gopis, the first one, Lalita Devi, is the best. She is the dear friend of the divine couple, and it's described that she's 27 days older than Radha, although her appearance day is celebrated the day before or 2 days before Rasami, depending upon the moon cycle. So Lalita is famous as Srimati Radharani's constant companion and follower. Lalita is contrary and hot-tempered by nature. Her complexion is like the yellow pigment Gaurachan, and her garments are like peacock feathers. Her mother is Sarada Devi, and his father is Vrishoka. Her husband is named Bhairava. He is a close friend of Govardhan Gopa. So Govardhan Gopa is interesting. His interesting personality. He's the husband of Chandravali, who is the so-called competitor of Srimati Radharani. Among the most exalted gopis who are most dear to Krishna, the leader and controller is Lalita Devi. Lalita Devi is full of ecstatic love for the divine couple. She is expert at arranging both their meeting and their conjugal struggle. Sometimes, for Radharani's sake, she offends Lord Madhava. And so, of course, offense, and what does that mean by offending? Of course, not really offending. But when Krishna aggravates Srimati Radharani, sometimes she stands there with a stick, preventing Krishna from seeing Srimati Radharani. And sometimes when Krishna offends, she just takes Radharani away. Why do you have to associate with this dacoit anymore? So the beauty of all the other gopis appears to be conserved in the form of Lalita Devi. In an argument, her mouth becomes bent with ferocious anger, and she expertly speaks the most outrageous and arrogant replies. When the arrogant gopis pick a quarrel with Krishna, she is in the forefront of the conflict. When Radha and Krishna meet, she audaciously remains standing a little way from them. With the help of Purnamasi Devi, that's Yogamaya, and the other gopis, she arranges for the meeting of Radha and Krishna. She carries the parasol, that's an umbrella, for the divine couple. She decorates them with flowers and decorates the cottage where they rest at night and rise in the morning. Some gopis serve the divine couple in the garden known as Madanon Montani, among the many flowering creepers, and betel trees. Some gopis are expert at playing various magic tricks. Some are expert at composing riddles. And some are appointed to provide betel nuts for the divine couple. All these gopis are the servants of Srimati Radharani. Other gopis are specifically the friends of Lord Baladev. Lalita Devi is the leader and controller of all these exalted and worshipable young gopis. Now, just one note is that the gopis, they are actually interested in having Radharani associate with Krishna. There's no personal motivation on their part. It's not that they want to enjoy Krishna. Of course, they want to serve Krishna. But their primary objective is to give pleasure and to serve Srimati Radharani. So it's a complete causeless service. And of course, Radharani is also executing this causeless service because her complete dedication is to please Krishna. And Krishna is also rendering causeless service because his complete dedication is to please Srimati Radharani. So this is a real exchange of love. Real love is when there's nothing else in one's heart but to please beloved. And that's really what's happening in the spiritual world. There's absolutely, positively no self-centeredness on anyone's part, including the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Ratnalekha and the other eight dear Avara gopis described here all follow in the footsteps of Lalita Devi always and in all respects. Let's see. There's some stuff to hear about the other gopis. I'm just going to skip that. The flower crowns, known as pushpa-pada, are the best of all, and they are more pleasing than even the best jeweled crowns, ratna-pada. In other words, Krishna and Radharani like flower crowns better than jeweled crowns. Lalita Devi learned how to make these pushpa-pada crowns from Srimati Radharani. And here's some statement about the gopi messengers who arranged the meeting of the divine couple. Shabada Devi, Soumya Darshana Devi, Suprasad Devi, Sarasanta Devi, Santidha Devi, and Kantida Devi are the leaders of the Gopi messengers who expertly arrange the meeting of Radha and Krishna. These gopis consider Lalita Devi to be their dearmost life and soul. They are counted among the intimate associates of Lord Krishna. At a certain time, Srimati Radharani quarrels with Lord Krishna and refuses to see him. Understanding the hints of Lalita Devi, these gopis then approach Lord Krishna. These gopis appease Lord Krishna and please him in different ways. With great effort, they convince him that his actual desire is to meet Radha again. When these gopis bring to her the gift that Lord Krishna gave them as a peace offering, Srimati Radharani becomes very pleased with them and grants them her mercy. And sometimes Krishna acts in many ways to aggravate the gopis. I mean, there's... The one time Radharani made a necklace for Krishna, and then somehow or other, necklace, flower garland actually, and somehow or other that flower garland ended up on the neck of Chandravali. And then that was really, everybody was really upset with that whole thing. And then, think of this one pastime, it's very, very interesting. Oh, yes. This is the Gaurikund pastime that Krishna was meeting with Srimati Radharani right near Gaurikund, and then Krishna, he wanted to make Radharani angry with him, so he said one time, he said to her, "My dear Chandrai." Chandra means my dear moon-like one. But it's very similar to the word Chandravali, which means many, many moons. So when she heard that, she got very upset. And also, Krishna had instructed Vrinda Devi to have her monkey associate, Kakati, repeat some statements that also aggravated Srimati Radharani, because previously Krishna had met with Chandravali at the same spot. Actually, he was interested in Radharani, but, you know, because Radharani hadn't shown up, he met with Chandravali at the same spot. And then this same monkey, Kakati, had gone to Chandravali's mother-in-law and told Chandravali's mother-in-law that Krishna was meeting with her daughter-in-law. And so, you know, this... there ensued a great difficulty because of this. And of course, later on, Padma, who is Chandravali's friend, got back at Srimati Radharani and her friends by telling Srimati Radharani's mother-in-law, Jatila, that Krishna was meeting there at Gaurikund with Srimati Radharani. So that's a story. So anyway, so Krishna, he wanted to aggravate Srimati Radharani, so he had these plans, had the Kakati say something, and he said something, and Srimati Radharani went away, and then Krishna became very despondent. And of course, Krishna wanted to become despondent. He was enjoying even the mood of despondency. In this material world, we become despondent, and it's not very enjoyable. It's not that if I say to someone, you can become despondent. Despondent means like hopeless. It's very similar. Hopeless, there's no hope, you know, everything's finished. And so Krishna became like that. And Radharani, she was very worried about Krishna because Vrinda and Yogamaya told Srimati Radharani that Krishna is feeling very depressed. So Radharani got very worried. And she asked, where is Krishna at this particular juncture? And they said, well, Krishna is at Gaurikund, and he's lamenting, and he's talking to this other girl, Vidyavali. And the gopis at that point asked, who is this Vidyavali person? And Vrinda said, she's very famous. She's actually my sister. And everybody knows her. How come you don't know her, Srimati Radharani? So they all proceeded to Gaurikund, And they did not see Krishna, but they actually saw who they thought was Vijayavali. Vijayavali, of course, was Krishna dressed up as a girl, a very attractive girl. And such an interesting story, because previously Krishna had asked Brinda for the accoutrements of a woman, to dress up like a woman. And previously, Madhu Mangal had come with all the offerings that were previously given to Gauri Mata. Gauri Mata is Durga. And some of these offerings were like jewels and things like that. So Madhu Mangal brought all the jewels that were meant for Gauri Mata, the deity, to Krishna. And Krishna put on the deity's jewels. And he put on the dress given to him by Vrinda. And so he was standing there in Gaurikund as Vijayavali. Practically, he looked like the deity, and that was fortunate. What happened is that Radharani saw Vijayavali, and she wanted to make friends with Vijayavali. So, you know, friends, sometimes the ladies embrace each other when they're like that. But this particular embrace was highly unusual. When Radharani embraced Vijayavali in Vrindavan, Vijayavali started to kiss her just like a man, and, you know, anyway, interact just like men and women interact. And the other gopis were looking and they were thinking, what's happening here? That this Vijayavali is acting like a man now. And of course, at that point, they discovered it was Krishna. And Srimati Radharani was very much joking with Krishna. She knew it was Krishna. And she said, she addressed Krishna, Oh goddess. It's interesting in the relationship. She said, oh goddess. And fortunately, when she addressed Krishna in that way, fortunately she did address Krishna in that way, because at that door, at the door to the Gaurikund temple, was Jatila and her son, Abhimanyu, listening to hear what was going on. So they heard, oh goddess, and they came in because they thought they would discover Krishna and Radha together. But then they saw who they thought was the incarnation or the appearance of the deity Gauri, who was actually Krishna, who was acting as Vijayavali. And Radharani, when she saw her mother-in-law and husband, so-called husband, come in, she fainted because she didn't know what to do. And she fainted at the feet of Vijayavali, who was actually Krishna, who everyone thought was Gauri Mata. So when they came in, they thought that Radharani was offering dandavats at the lotus feet of Gauri Mata. You understand? They were actually thinking like that. That she's offering obeisances and praying. So they thought, oh, she's not with Krishna. Actually, she's worshiping the deity, as she's supposed to, because by worshiping Gauri Mata, her husband, Abhimanyu, will become very fortunate. So Gauri Mata, who was actually Krishna acting as Vijayavali, spoke at that point and said, Abhimanyu, you are going to die in the next 2 days. Your head is going to be cut off by Kamsa, and you, this way you'll leave your body, because you've offended Srimati Radharani, thinking that she's not chaste to you, thinking that she's hanging around with Krishna. So at that point, Abhimanyu said, please save me, save me, save me. And Jatila said, save my son, save my son, save my son. Then Gauri Mata, who is Krishna of Vijayavali, said, there's no way, you're too sinful. Then Radharani, understanding what was going on, got up from her swoon and began to pray to Gauri Mata, who was actually Krishna. I said, my dear Gauri Mata, forgive my husband, please. Oh, please, do not allow my husband to be killed. So she was acting at that particular juncture. And then Gauri Mata, who was Krishna, said, because of your chastity, I forgive him. But he should never allow you, or never send you out of Braj. And Abhimanyu said, all right, I'll never send my wife away. I'll always trust her. They'll never think that she's associating with Krishna. And then they left the scene, and then Gauri Mata was actually Krishna began to associate with Srimati Radharani again. Anyway, so this is a pastime of quarreling, making up, and dealing with in-laws. Okay. So, interesting pastime. Continuing with the description of Lalita Devi. Lalita Devi and the other eight principal gopis, the other gopis and the mandaris, have forms that are, for the most part, like the transcendental form of Srimati Radharani, the queen of Vrindavan. Tundi Keri is the name of Radharani's pet swan, who is fond of swimming in Radhakund. Madhuri is Radharani's pet elephant, and Sukshmadi and Subha are her two pet parrots. The two parrots perfectly imitate Lalita Devi's playful jokes spoken to her master and mistress, Sri Sri Radhan Krishna. By this wonderful repetition, the parrots astonish the gopis. And now we'll read some verses from the nectar devotion. Some of the bhavas, like Vyabhachari Bhava, breathing heavily. As far as breathing heavily is concerned, it is stated that Lalita, one of the gopis, is just like a chitaki bird, which only takes water falling directly from the rain cloud and not from any other source. In this statement, Krishna is compared to the dark cloud, and Lalita is compared to the chitaki bird, seeking only Krishna's company. The metaphor continues to say, as a heavy wind sometimes disperses a mighty cloud, so the heavy breath from Lalita's nostrils caused her to miss Krishna, who had disappeared by the time she recovered herself. In other words, Krishna came and she exhibited this Vyabhachari Bhava, just breathing heavily like that. And because she was breathing so heavily, actually from her nostrils, described here, and she was in a swoon, Krishna left and she didn't notice that he left. Here's another one. When Srimati Radharani first saw Krishna, she suddenly became conscious of all transcendental happiness, and the functions of her different limbs were stunned. When Lalita, her constant companion, whispered into her ear the holy name of Krishna, Radharani immediately opened her eyes wide. This is an instance of alertness caused by hearing the sound of Krishna's name. That's another bhava, alertness. And that's, of course, from Nectar Devotion again. Here's another one about anger. In ecstatic loving service to Krishna and anger, Krishna is always the object. In Vidagdha Madhava, in other words, Krishna is not the one who gets angry. It's the devotee who gets angry at Krishna. So the subject is the person who gets angry, and the object is the object of the anger. Everyone understands that? Pretty easy to understand. In the Vidagdha Madhava, second act, verse 37, this is from Nectar Devotion again, even though it's quoting Vidagdha Madhava, Lalita Gopi expressed her anger, which was caused by Krishna, when she addressed Srimati Radharani thus, "My dear friend, my inner desires have become polluted. Therefore, I should go to the place of Yamaraj. But I am sorry to see that Krishna has still not given up his smiling over cheating you. I do not know how you could repose all your loving propensities upon this lusty young boy from the neighborhood of the cowards." In other words, she's sort of chastising Srimati Radharani for making the mistake of being focused on Krishna. So that's the mood of anger. Sometimes in anger, someone says things that really don't indicate their normal mood, their sthayi bhava. Sthayi means like steady or normal mood, but it flavors the normal mood. Like if someone really loves someone, even in this material world, they get angry at them. It doesn't mean they don't love them. It just means, of course, in the material world, anger comes from lust. I understand that. It just flavors the relationship. Okay, so here's the story. This is a very nice story about Lalita's appearance. And this is This is actually from the Lita Madhava. Yeah. So there's several characters here. There's Gargi and Purnamasi. And who are the other characters in this particular play? Yeah. No, just Gargi and Purnamasi. This is about Lalita's appearance. Mm. Gargi says, "Is it true that when the witch Putana was killed, you took Radha from her lap?" Purnamasi replies, "I took not only Radha, but the other five girls also." Gargi asks, "Who were they?" Purnamasi replies, "They were one, Radha's moon-faced friend, Lalita. Two, Chandravali's beautiful friend, Padma. Three, Bhadra, who acts auspiciously. Four, auspicious Saibya. And five, splendid and cheerful Shama." Gargi asks, "How were these girls placed amongst the gopis?" Purnamasi answers, "Swiftly and secretly, I gave these five infant girls to five gopis in different parts of Vrindavan. In a secret place, I happily gave virtuous Radha to Yashoda's nurse, Mukura, and said, 'O elderly one, here is your son-in-law, Vrishabhanu's daughter.'" So that's the play. And then some more information about Lalita Devi. Lalita Devi was born in the village of Karela, and later on her father brought her to Uchagan. Uchagan is known as the place of her pastimes. There are many remnants of her having lived there, like a rock containing the imprints of her lotus feet. There are also imprints of some small utensils she used when she and the other Sakis fed Lord Krishna, when he would come to visit them. When the sun rays fall on the imprints of these pots and plates, they glitter and shine. All the Sakis used to play with Krishna and Lalita in Uchagan, and there are many places there where you can see their footprints to that day. So that's right near Barshana, right on the side of Barshana. On the hill, there's a slippery rock showing where different specific pastimes were enacted in the marriage arena. There, the gopis arranged a special kind of marriage between Lalita and Krishna. This should not be misunderstood as real marriage, but rather a play marriage. Like the marriage that was once enacted between Srimati Radhika and Krishna. This is technically known as a Gandharva marriage. Actually, there was a marriage between Radharani and Krishna where Lord Brahma came and he was the priest for the marriage ceremony. In that pastime, Krishna was sitting beside Lalita and the Sakis began to play mischievously. Vishakha and some of the other Sakis tied Sri Lalita's veil to Krishna's pitambara, or yellow shawl. Then suddenly, on the indication of Srimati Radhika, Rangadevi and the other Sakis started to sing wedding songs, while Tungavidya and the others uttered wedding mantras. The remaining Sakis showered flowers on Sri Krishna and Lalita. When Lalita noticed that something tricky was being done to her, she tried to run away. But because she was tied to Krishna's pitambara, she could not do so. All the Sakis then surrounded the couple and married them. So in other words, just like all the gopis, they're thinking of assisting Srimati Radharani in her pastimes with Krishna. They're not thinking of enjoying Krishna directly. In the same way, Srimati Radharani is sometimes pushing her associates to associate with Krishna. And in this particular instance, that's what we're seeing. She's actually arranging a Gandharva marriage between Lalita and Krishna. Even today, one can see the signs of the slide on the hill, as well as the markings of Alta, red lac, from the gopis' feet. Although this pastime took place 5,000 years ago, you can still visualize these signs with your own eyes. So now, there's this very wonderful poem known as the Lalita Ashtaka. So I wanted to read from the Lalita Ashtakam. Ashta means eight. So, okay. I'll just... Yeah, I can read the Sanskrit. We've got some time. Radha Mukunda Pada Sambhava Garama Bindu Irmanchano Pakarani Krittideha Laksham Utanga Saurabhishesha Vasat Pragalmam Devim gunai sulalitam lalitam namami. I offer my respects unto the haughty, that means proud, Sri Lalita Devi, who was charmingly endowed with many beautiful, sweet qualities. That's Su Lalita. She has natural expertise in all the arts, Lalita, and thus her seva manifests. She wipes away the glittering drops of perspiration which appear upon the lotus feet of Sri Radha and Madhava when they meet, and she is perpetually immersed in the most elevated mellow of Sorada Ras, or undivided absorption in fulfilling the heart's desire of her intimate friend, Srimati Radhika. And there's an explanation here. There are four types of sakis: Swapaksha, Vipaksha, Tatashta, and Surit. Swapaksha means those sakis who are totally favorably disposed towards Srimati Radharani. Vipaksha means these gopis who are totally favorably disposed towards Chandravali and opposed to Radharani. Tatashta means those who are neutral towards Srimati Radhika and more favorably disposed towards Chandravali. Surit means those who are more favorably disposed towards Srimati Radhika and neutral towards Chandravali. Surit gopis never do anything unfavorable towards Srimati Radhika. Lalita Devi and Vishakha Devi are examples of gopis who are swapaksha to Srimati Radhika. Everybody understands that? Completely on Srimati Radhika's side. Completely opposed to Chandravali. So that's swapaksha. Swapaksha. Chandravali is vipaksha, Bhadra is tatashta, and Shamala is surit. The mood of Lalita is that she is always favorable towards the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, and she always tries to please them. She engages in millions upon millions of endeavors to please them and to serve the droplets of their activities. When Radha and Krishna meet and engage in amorous pastimes, Lalita wipes away the droplets of perspiration on their lotus feet. This means that she is engaged day and night in the service of their sweet pastimes. There are two types of services in Madhurya Rasa or Conjugal Rasa. One is in the mood of the Mandaris and the other is in the mood of the Sakis. Lalita always serves in the mood of the Saki. One of her qualities is that she has some controlling nature. She can command both Radha and Krishna, but at the same time she is friendly disposed towards them. She's always immersed in the ocean of love. She is very beautiful and very sweet, but at the same time very sober and composed. Her heart is so sweet that she attracts the heart of all others, but at the same time she is a pragalba, which means that she can speak harsh words and can thus control both Radha and Krishna. So, Lalita Ashtakam, second verse. Raka Sura Kirana Mandala Kanti Dandi Vakra Sriyam Cha Gitakcharu Chamuru Necham Radha Prasadana Vidanna Kala Prasidam Devim Gunai Sulalitam Lalitam Namami. I offer my pranams unto Sri Lalita Devi, whose beautiful face mocks the brilliance of the full moon, whose eyes are ever restless like those of a startled doe, who is famous for her extraordinary expertise in the art of dressing Srimati Radhika, and who is the treasure house of unlimited feminine qualities. This verse begins by describing Srimati Lalita Devi's beauty. She is so beautiful that her beauty surpasses the combined beauty of millions of moons. Her eyes are said to be so restless, they can defeat the restlessness of the eyes of a female deer. Her specific quality is that she is very expert at applying makeup, and especially in arranging the hair decoration of Srimati Radhika. Although all the eight principal sakis are very famous in putting on the bodily decorations and applying the makeup of Srimati Radhika, Lalita and Vishakha are the most expert. Moreover, of these two, Lalita is considered the most proficient. With reference to the verse above, Lalita and the other sakis tell Srimati Radhika, when you go to meet with Krishna, this is how you should behave with him. And in other words, they give her Srimati Radhika instructions. They want Krishna to be totally under the spell of Srimati Radhika. When they are applying kajal or black eyeliner, they remind Srimati Radhika of her previous pastimes with Sri Krishna. For example, once she was going out to meet Krishna, she forgot to put kajal on one of her eyes, and Krishna himself put it on upon her arrival. Similar pastimes are brought to the attention of Srimati Radhika at the time of putting on her makeup, and in that way, her mood of bringing pleasure to Krishna is enhanced. When the gopis put the tilak mark on her forehead, they recite the Kama mantra, which still further inspires her in her mood of service to Krishna. All these pastimes are arranged by Lalita Devi, and therefore she is described as the fountainhead of many wonderful qualities. Next verse, text 3. Lashyolasadbu jagasatrupata trachitra patam sukabarana kanchuli kanchitangim gorochanaruchi vigarhana gorimanam devim gunai sulalitam lalitam namami. I offer my respects to Srimati Lalita Devi, whose body is adorned with a splendid sari as brilliant as the multicolored tail feathers of an ecstatically dancing peacock, whose breast is covered with an exceedingly attractive blouse, whose hair part is decorated with shimmering red vermilion, and who wears various necklaces and other jeweled ornaments. Her golden complexion defeats that of even Gorochana, a bright golden pigment that comes when rainwater from the Swati Nakshatra constellation hits the hoof of a cow. And she possesses innumerable good qualities. In this verse, a semblance is given with a peacock. At the commencement of the rainy season, the peacock becomes very happy. The peacock has been especially gifted by God to have beautiful colors on his feathers. He expresses his happiness on seeing the clouds by spreading his wings. Srimati Lalita Devi's dresses are so beautifully ornamented and colored that they express the mood of a peacock showing his happiness by spreading his wings. Her sari, her various kinds of necklaces, and all of her ornaments brilliantly glitter. And with all this glittering combined with the luster of her own body, gives a profound impression. So that's all we have time for today. So we can celebrate, remember Lalita Devi's service to Lord Krishna, how she is completely selfless in trying to please Srimati Radharani, completely devoted to Srimati Radharani at the exclusion of all the other gopis, especially Srimati Chandravali. That's what Swapaksha. She's a Swapaksha gopi. Everybody remember that? That means Swaharon, basically. She belongs to Srimati Radharani. Okay? On that note, all glories to his divine grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada.